OFAC sanctions 134 ISIS-K crypto wallets. Tether freezes the funds. The U.S. Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control added 134 cryptocurrency wallet addresses linked to ISIS-K to its sanctions list. And Tether froze the associated tokens in response. Of the 134 addresses, 131 were on the Tron network, according to Cointelegraph. The action pairs a government designation with an issuer-level asset freeze on the same day, which is the part worth paying attention to. This is not a story about a hack or a market move. It is about the plumbing. The freeze shows how far centralized stablecoins have shifted from digital cash toward a permissioned payment network, where the issuer can lock any balance on request. The mechanics behind a freeze Tether keeps a blocklist function in its USDT smart contracts. When an address is added to that list, the tokens sitting in it can no longer move. They are not seized in the sense of being transferred to a government wallet. They are simply immobilized, stranded at the address they were caught in. The holder keeps the private key, and it no longer matters. That capability is why OFAC and Tether can act in concert. A sanctions designation on its own is a legal instruction. U.S. persons and entities must not transact with the listed addresses. Without a freeze, the tokens can still technically move on-chain to anyone willing to ignore U.S. law. Tether's blocklist closes that gap by making the tokens inert, regardless of who holds them or where. The concentration on Tron is not incidental. Tron has become the dominant chain for USDT transfers because of low fees and fast settlement, which is exactly what makes it attractive for both legitimate remittances and illicit flows. 131 of 134 addresses on one network tells you where the activity is actually happening. Compliance is a product feature. For years, the crypto industry argued that on-chain assets were censorship-resistant by design. Stablecoins broke that framing. A dollar token is only worth a dollar because the issuer honors redemption, and an issuer that honors redemption is an issuer that answers to regulators. Tether has now frozen well over $1 billion in USDT across hundreds of enforcement actions since it began cooperating with law enforcement. And each freeze reinforces that the redemption guarantee and the freeze switch are the same lever. That is a feature for the compliance side and a risk disclosure for everyone else. If you hold USDT, USDC, or any centralized stablecoin, the balance is subject to the issuer's control. The odds of an ordinary user being frozen are effectively zero, but the mechanism that freezes a sanctioned wallet is the same mechanism that could freeze any wallet the issuer is compelled to act against. This is the counterparty exposure that comes bundled with custodial value. For anyone using stablecoin spending rails day to day, the practical read is unchanged. These tokens are convenient, liquid, and backed, and they are also permissioned. The trade-off is now on public record. Regulatory rails, not just regulatory pressure. The wider signal is that stablecoins are being treated as enforceable financial infrastructure, not a loophole around it. OFAC designations against crypto wallets used to be symbolic, a name on a list that on-chain actors could route around. Pairing the designation with an issuer freeze turns it into an actual interdiction. Funds do not move. That has implications for how governments will approach the sector. A payment network where the issuer can freeze designated addresses on demand is a network regulators can work with rather than against. It is also a preview of what compliance looks like under frameworks like the US stablecoin rules and Europe's MiCA regime, both of which lean on issuers as the accountable party. The ISIS-K action is a live demonstration of that model working exactly as designed. None of this touches self-custodied assets like Bitcoin or unfrozen coins, which is part of why self-custody options exist as a distinct category. The freeze power is specific to centralized issuers who can amend token state. That distinction, largely academic to most users, is the entire ballgame for a sanctioned entity.